Our first reading is Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, that could be found on page 1094 of the Church Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And then we turn over a page and Acts 4, verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully to work in them all that there was no needy person among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sale and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again. Thank you for your welcome. It's always a pleasure to be here. And so on behalf of Jan and me, thank you for having us back. It's lovely to see you and to feel part of the family here. Thank you to Di for leading us and for organising the service for us this morning. Thank you to the band. If I may say so as a visitor, you have got a great band here. You really have. It blesses me every time I come and listen to them. They're so together and it really is a pleasure to worship with this band leading us. So thank you, band. It's a real pleasure. Thank you to Jane for your very thoughtful prayers and to Mary for reading as well. Really bringing us into God's presence. So we've, Aubrey as well, I haven't seen the boy for, I've seen him about twice since he's retired from being with you, and he must be contented, he looks contented, and so does Janet, but I don't know what the boy's up to, because I haven't seen him more than just a couple of times since he left here in February, but it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you. And like I said, we've just celebrated Pentecost last week, which was to celebrate, of course, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And it's the birthday of the Church of Jesus that we celebrate on Pentecost Sunday. And my question this morning is, what difference does the Holy Spirit make? That's the title of my message. And I think this is a message very much indeed for our time right now. Britain, as Jane was leading us in prayer, Britain seems widely divided. And the message of the gospel is that we are one in Jesus. And that we are united by the Holy Spirit. And that we are one family. And so with all that in mind, and in the light of the fact that we are part of God's family together, what difference does the Holy Spirit make? So let's pray first that God will open our minds. Father God, thank you that we can be here together. Thank you that you promise to be here when your people gather together. And we thank you, Lord, that you have got things to say to us, and it's a message of grace. It's a message that comes from your love. It's a message that comes from you having done everything in advance and calling us to join in. Father, would you open our eyes right now And would we see the truth in your words and help us to apply them to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you've been in church for a long time, and then I hope you know these passages that we read from Acts quite well. And if you're part of this church, or any other church, come to that, I hope that this passage that we've read is a kind of blueprint for where you would like your church to go. Because this is Luke kind of setting out a perfect plan, and it is rather a perfect plan, to be honest, but it's a brilliant example of what church can look like when it works. It's a pretty good description of what Christianity looks like when everything's lined up and it's working. And often we just see a glimpse of this bit or that bit. But Luke wants us to know, right at the beginning of the church, how it's supposed to be and the direction we're supposed to be headed. And I really just want to draw your attention to one aspect. One part of the life of God's people, of the church, and it's something about what they do with their possessions. And here's the point I want to get at. When the Spirit comes, God's people share. When the Spirit comes, God's people share. And it really is as simple as that. I just want to take that and unpack it a bit and then apply it to ourselves here. So, when the Spirit comes, we share. And we see lots of amazing things happening in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, you've got these people and it says they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, so they're really learning a lot about the scriptures. And to fellowship, and that word fellowship means sharing, and so they're devoted to this shared life already. And to breaking of bread, it says, that's to communion and feasting around that together. And to prayer. And we've got people filled with awe because of wonders and signs performed by the apostles. We've got all these marks of church going on. But then in verse 44 of chapter 2 that we read, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And then Luke goes on in verse 46 of chapter 2 that we read. Well, they continued to meet together. So you've got this worshipping life, right? And they broke bread in their homes. He repeats that. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And they were praising God. And actually, there was a lot of growing and witnessing going on as well. They had all these different kinds of life going on. But one aspect of it was what they did with their stuff. And then later on in that second bit that we read, chapter 4, it just goes into a bit more detail about what Luke has already said. Luke says, in effect, let me unpack this, how it works, who did what. And let me give you an example, Joseph, who sold a field and brought the money, put it at the apostles' feet. You know, when the Spirit comes, I mean, we talk about Pentecost, and which was the day when God poured out his power on his church. And people often associate it with power for healing, for instance, and rightly so, because as Luke points out, many wonders were done by the apostles. But do you associate Pentecost with possessions? Do you link the Holy Spirit and life in the Spirit with your stuff? And with what God does to change communities and the way they handle their things? See, when you come to church, we can come to church and we can think, God, I just want to be filled up. And we might come to church and we want to experience something of God. And that's not a bad thing. And I really hope and pray that you'll experience God right now. And we experience God in different ways. And but some of us come to church and we're like, God, I want to be fixed. I've got this broken thing in my life and I'd like you to fix it. But you know what? When God pours out his Spirit, actually his people begin to share in radical ways. And that is really, really important. We come to God and we say, God, fill me up. And God is interested, yes, in filling us up, but also in sending us out. We come to God and we want to experience him. But also, God wants us to find him in our relationships with one another. And maybe that's a harder part for us in our churches sometimes, but it's really important. We come to God and we want him to fix our problems. We come to God with our list of needs. Do you know what God does? He gives us a whole new set of needs, which is the needs of the people around us. But actually, God has a plan in that. God has a plan in exposing you and me to the needs of the people around. Because he's calling us to be a certain kind of community together. And that's what Luke is pointing out. So when the Spirit comes, God's people share. And what interests me, I mean, we could think about this for a lot longer, but there really isn't time this morning. It's the apostles who perform many wonders and miraculous signs, we read. And Luke does this repeatedly through the book of Acts. He says, the apostles did this, and the apostles did that. It's the apostles, Luke said, who were doing the healing. But everyone was doing the sharing. And you know, most of the talks that I've heard on Pentecost, they talk about healing, but they don't mention sharing. Which is funny, because Luke says that all the believers did the sharing. And like, actually, you remember Peter and John? They did a healing because they didn't have any possessions. If you know the story, they go into the temple and there's someone there who can't walk and he says to them, give me some money. And they say, we haven't got anything, we haven't got any possessions, so here you go, here's the power of God. And they heal him, which is incredible. All the other believers, they've got possessions. And what Luke wants to point out is that while many miraculous signs and wonders were done by the apostles, all the believers shared their possessions. And I think that's really interesting. So when the Spirit comes, it makes a difference, and God's people share. And God, in Acts, the book of Acts, God was bringing together people from every nation. You know that. If you've got your Bible open to where we were looking in Luke, in Acts chapter 2, if you look at chapter 2 earlier on, Peter is giving the first ever, you know, sermon, and he summarizes the good news about Jesus, and Peter tells these people, you can know God. Jesus died, but God had a plan in this. And now God has raised Jesus up from the dead because God didn't want Jesus to suffer decay. God wasn't going to leave Jesus dead. And that's a promise he makes to us as well. That actually, if we want God to hold on to us, we've got to put our faith in that Jesus Christ and get baptized and follow him. But what Luke points out in Acts chapter 2 and verse 9, if you look at this, there's a load of people there. And he has this long list of the countries of the day. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, Cretans, Arabs. And his point there is that God has brought to Jerusalem people from all around the world. And then Peter speaks to them, he tells them the good news about Jesus, and then they form the church. And so you've got these people who suddenly, they're part of this new movement, and what the Holy Spirit does is he helps them to start to care for one another. Do you see what God is doing? God's bringing people together from here and there and all around the world, all different backgrounds. He's bringing together the rich and the poor, and he's saying, okay, guys, your family. You're one in Christ Jesus. Now, what are you going to do? And Luke tells us what they did. They started to share with one another. God is bringing together a family from all around the world, from every kind of background, to share with one another. And I think that's incredible. So the question I've got, before we look at a practical example of this, my question is why? That's what happens. That's what happens when the Spirit comes. God's people share. But why? Why do they share? Why are they selling houses and fields, as we read? What are they thinking? And what's the link? What's the link between becoming a Christian and getting to know God? And that sounds fantastic. All right, fair enough. God's real. And then actually saying, okay, you know, here are the keys to my house. What's the link? Why? Well, Luke gives us a couple of clues. And the main clue we've got, see what you think about this. The main clue we've got is in the second passage that we read, and that's why we read both of them. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. So you see there, Luke is giving us a clue. It's God's grace. Grace, as you probably know, means unmerited favor. It means a gift you don't deserve. God's grace was so powerfully at work. It was God who was at work in this. And it was so powerful, it was so full of grace, it was so full of giving. God's giving was so powerfully at work in them that there weren't any needy people. And I mean, that tells you the other reason, I think. God, on the one hand, was being gracious, and on the other hand, there is actual need. Some people have got needs. They're not just sharing because it's really nice for everyone to have exactly the same amount of things. They're sharing because there are people with actual needs. And when God pours his grace out on his church powerfully, then those needs get met. Not because God makes money magically appear from nowhere, but because God's people say, do you know what? I'm going to give. I'm going to share. And if I was to unpack that a bit more, I would say when the Spirit comes, when God pours out his Spirit, his goodness comes into our life, which he does for every Christian. He's always wanting to pour goodness into our lives. I hope you realize that. One of the classic physical signs that we use nowadays to show that we're willing for this to happen is we open up our hands. And I guess that's why they shared. Because you can't have, here's a physical challenge for you, you can't have clenched fists and open palms at the same time, can you? You might want to try that, bit of a challenge. In fact, you could argue that most of us are trying it most of the time. We're trying to open our hands, but we're also holding on tight. But God's grace was so powerfully at work that their hands were open. And that is one of the marks of the church, to be open-handed. So that's why they shared, because of God's grace, because of the need, because they were open-handed. And I think the other reason, I mean, you've got to read all this in context, okay? Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and then Luke wrote the book of Acts. And the two are just really part one and part two of the same thing. And actually, if you read what Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus talks a lot about possessions and sharing in Luke's Gospel. And then what you find in the book of Acts is that Jesus is actually God's own son. He's actually God's chosen king. And I think that that might be another reason why they shared. Because they suddenly realized, these new Christians, we've got to take this guy seriously. I mean, he actually is the Lord. He was actually raised from the dead. And to be honest, if I was choosing between kind of different life approaches, I'd pick the person who'd come back from the dead to be a good guide. And that's what's happening. When the Spirit comes, God's people share. And I want to get practical about that with you. And I just want to make one point about us locally, I suppose. And I was thinking, how does this relate to us? I mean, for example, we talk about Brexit. And no one can quite decide what's going on. Is it hard Brexit? Soft Brexit? I didn't know such things existed, but they do, or they might. We don't know what's going on. We don't know. There's a lot of uncertainty, as we were praying just earlier. There's a lot of economic uncertainty. There's a lot of political uncertainty right now. And I think also there's a lot of community uncertainty and insecurity, particularly since Manchester and London Bridge. And I was thinking, and I was praying about this, and I was thinking, do you know what? There may be some of us, and we're tempted to think, how am I going to cope? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this period of uncertainty? I mean, we're aware of people's jobs changing, being under threat. We feel anxious about money. We're anxious about security. But, you know, if this passage that we read means anything, and if our church is a church where we receive the Spirit at all, surely none of us should be asking, how am I going to get through this? Surely we should be saying, how are we going to get through this? Isn't that right? Isn't that what the church should be doing? Even just a glimpse of that. How are we going to get through this? Which takes a step of faith. I mean, even if you're worried yourself, it takes a step of faith to trust someone enough to say to them, do you know what? I'm struggling. I need a bit of help here. Or I'm going to commit myself, my life, to a group of people who are going to watch out for one another. I'm going to get involved so that we can carry one another and share with one another and provide for one another. God's grace powerfully at work in us. Let me finish by telling you a story about my friend Barry and how this sharing by someone filled by the Holy Spirit can work in practice. Some years ago, I went to work in Zambia in a remote bush hospital miles from anywhere. And there was no tarmac road for about 200 miles, and I got to the hospital in a little missionary airplane, which was terrifying, and the plane landed in a grass field near the hospital. And I spent an exciting couple of months treating all manner of things like TB and malaria and leprosy and dysentery and snake bites and all manner of maternity problems. It was great. And one day when the hospital was quiet, one of the missionaries said to me, we'd like to take you on a trip to meet someone you'll find very interesting. So we drove about 30 miles through the bush in a 4x4 on a dust track, until we came to a small African village with typical African mud huts. And eventually we arrived outside a very nice hut, and I was introduced to Barry. And Barry is a missionary from Newcastle, and Barry showed me round his village, where he lived and where he worked. And he introduced me to some African Christians, and we had a simple meal together of something pretty hot. And I couldn't understand them, and they couldn't understand me. But we shared fellowship together and enjoyed the truth that we were brothers and sisters in God's family. And after the meal, I thanked Barry for showing me around his village and for taking me to meet his African friends and for the welcome they'd given me. And he said, you wouldn't always have received a welcome like that. He said, 2 years ago, you would have been chased out of the village and probably beaten up. He said, 2 years ago, we came and started talking to them about Jesus, and the villagers said, go away, we don't want you here. But we did go back, and the villagers said again, if you come back anymore, we'll attack you and beat you up. And Barry said, we had to flee for our lives. And I asked him the question that you would have asked him. What happened? What made the difference? What happened to change the village from one where you had to flee for your lives And now it's a place where we're welcomed. What happened? And he said, well, we stopped going to the village because we were scared. But as a group of Christians, we started praying together. And we thought about the community. And we noticed certain things about the community. We saw that there was a river and a waterfall. We saw there was no school for the young kids. We saw the houses were badly made with bad bricks and gave the people no protection, no security. We saw that they were miles from the nearest medical clinic, and we saw kids dying from illnesses they could easily be vaccinated against. And Barry said, we saw we had to put the gospel into action. Here are people in need. So they built a dam and provided electricity. They built a school to provide education for the kids. They started to teach the men how to make good quality bricks. They taught them simple woodworking skills to make stronger houses. Barry went on a course to learn some simple medical skills so they could deal with minor illnesses. They started a vaccination program. I saw all that. I saw all that myself. And if we have received the Holy Spirit by receiving Jesus, and so if God's grace really is at work in us, then we have to demonstrate the gospel and share God's love for our needy world in down-to-earth ways where God has put us. General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, in his last speech before he died, at the very end of that last speech in the East End of London, he put it this way. He said this, while women weep as they do now, I'll fight. While little children go hungry, I'll fight. While men go to prison, in and out, as they do now, I'll fight. Where there's a poor, lost girl on the streets, I'll fight. And where there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I'll fight. When the Holy Spirit came to the Christians in the early church, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. What difference does the Holy Spirit make? When the Spirit comes, God's people share. Amen.